Oh, it's such a privilege to be back. I think you've been here, was it 3 months ago? And we had such a good time. And I just want to honor Pastor Kobus and Lorette for the work they're doing here. And yeah, just honor every one of you. You know, when I came here early, you know, this place was a buzz of activity, getting everything ready for you guys to rock up here. So yeah, I just want to honor you for the difference that you're making in this part. Where God has put you, and trusting to see that that you work with Him, and yeah, just seeing His glory coming in this area. Amen. 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 Let's just pray together. Now, Father, we just want to declare this morning, God. We just want to say that we love you, and God, we want to say that we're hungry for you, God. We're hungry for more of you, God. Hungry for more of your Spirit, God. Hungry to see you move in our lives, God. God, we are hungry to see that you move through us, God. And this morning we just want to stand with you one moment, and we trust you that you will work in our lives, God. That you will equip us, God. That you will, we just want to thank you, God, that you work in us everything that we need, God. And, and God, we want more of you. And maybe just there where you stand, maybe if that, there where you sit, if that's your heart, won't you just put out your hand to Him? Just raise your arm to Him and say, God, I want more of you, God. I want a freshness in my heart, God. I want you to work in my life, God. And God, you see every hand that's up to you, God. And we trust you, God, that you will meet with us in this morning. Because you are here in our midst, God. And we honor your presence in the name of Jesus. You hear the, God, you hear the heart. You hear the hunger, God. You hear the thirst in every heart, God. And we just say thank you. Your word says, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, God, you will come through for us. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people say, amen, amen, amen. The word that God laid on my heart is, when things don't work out the way you expected. Some of you have been at that place. You know, you thought it's going to go the other way. And lo and behold, it didn't go your way. So guys, in the growth pattern, what do you call it? That growth diagram. Kobus said, you are on the go phase. Okay, and Jesus said, go. If ever you want your life to be changed, get part of a missions group. Man, missions change your life like nothing else. If ever you can go, you know, do it. Do it. It really, really changes our lives. Now, Paul's life in the book of Acts was turned drastically around when he was on his way to Damascus, you know, to persecute the disciples of Jesus, the church of Jesus. And near his destination, you know, Paul suddenly found himself in a light bubble. And falling to the ground, he clearly heard a voice calling his name. And this voice, he realized, knew him. This voice spoke with authority. This voice jerked Paul to a total standstill. And he realized this could only be God. God intervening in his life. And this morning I want to ask you, when was the last time that God brought you to a total standstill. That you knew, this is God working in my life. This is God trying to get my attention. And guys, we need that moments of standstill where God can calibrate our hearts, where God can align our hearts again to Him, again to His purpose, and again to His destiny. Verse 3 of Acts 9 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was thinking he was doing a good thing. He was thinking he was doing the right thing, only to hear God's voice, Saul, why am you persecuting me? And somehow he found the courage, somehow he found the strength to ask him. Verse 5, he said, who are you, Lord? And that word Lord, you know, that's the name that God revealed himself to Moses when he said, I am that I am. You know, the most sacred word in Christianity, Yahweh. I am Yahweh. He says, who are you, Lord? You know, he knew it was God speaking to him. And then the Lord said, I am Jesus. Jesus said, you know, I am the Lord. It's Jesus. Paul, why are you persecuting me? You know, it's me that you are persecuting. And in a moment, Paul's life was changed, was transformed, was made new by the Spirit of God. Man, I remember that day in 1977, if it was yesterday, when God changed my life, when it became a reality, when he touched me. You know, I went to my mom with a little tract. You know, I was too afraid, you know, too ashamed to say, you know, I'm not sure about this. And she said, you know, you just need to accept him. But that day, you know, heaven broke open. You know, that day I saw Jesus, that he died for me on the cross. And it was like, you know, something rolled off my shoulders, you know. And I knew he saved me. You know, Paul's life was changed around. And I wrote here, when you make Jesus your Lord, when you make Jesus Lord of your life changes radically. And you know, I remember when I was seeking, you know, when I was seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I went with a friend of mine to her church. And I remember the pastor, he was speaking, and he said he was on home visitation, huisbesoek. Iemand hier wat nie Engels, wat Afrikaans verstaan nie. Okay, julle verstaan Afrikaans, you know. Hy was op huisbesoek gewees, you know. And this old oomie, you know, he was testifying. He said, when we were young, we went there, you know, where the dennebome is, and we prayed there, you know. And he was talking about that, and the pastor said, he said, oom, ek dink is tyd dat jy 'n bietjie na die dennebome toe gaan. You know, it's time that we refresh the passion that we had for Jesus. Refresh the, you know, the Spirit of God working in our lives. You know, when we make Jesus Lord in our lives, when we promote him from friend to Lord, are you still with me? When we promote him from being our friend to being Lord in our lives, we will find joy. We will find purpose, and we will live with passion and priority. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Man, and we as Christians can do that very well. Huh? You know, Just throw in something to eat and everyone comes to your small group on a Wednesday or a Thursday. You know, you want to build your small group, have food there. You know, people will come. People love food. We as Christians, we are fools for food, man. And, you know, we love it. But Jesus said, it's not only eating and drinking, but it is righteousness. It is peace and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, righteousness always works peace. You know, when we do the right thing, you know, we will have that peace. Psalm somewhere said, you know, righteousness and peace kiss each other. You know, like, oh, I love to kiss my wife, man. Hey. When last did you kiss your wife? When last did you tell her that you love her? Anyway, you know, but righteousness works peace. So when God spoke to Paul, you know what he did? He immediately obeyed. Geen uitgestelde gehoorzaamheid. No delayed obedience. You know, and when we are in love with Jesus, you know, our obedience is quick. When we are in love with Jesus, our obedience is prompt. Verse 5, God said, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Kingdom principle number one, you need people in your life who serve the king. You know, God didn't give Paul everything on the road to Damascus. In his grace, God didn't give him everything. You know, he could have an encounter with God and he could go, you know, go into Damascus and say, God revealed himself, you know, unto me and you must listen to me. No. You know, God in his grace, you know, he doesn't give us everything. We need one another. Are you still with me? We need one another. There's a fivefold ministry. There's lots of gifts, you know. 1 Corinthians 12, how many is there? I think there's 9 gifts. You know, Romans 12, there's the gifts of God. You know, so we need one another. Are you still with me? Amen. We need one another. And God didn't give Paul everything on the road. He had an encounter with God. Oh, yes. Did it save him? Oh, yes. It changed him. And then kingdom principle number two, one of the first things we need to adjust when we make Jesus Lord of our lives is we need to trust him. Okay. Touch somebody next to you and say, trust him. We need to trust him. Guys, the gospel, the good news, following Jesus is built on this one thing. We need to trust him. First, we must love him. And if you love someone, you can trust that person. Say iemand toch net ja, amen, asseblief. I love my wife. You know, because I love her, I can trust her. You know, and she loves me. And because she loves me, she can trust me. She knows when I say yes, yes is. Laat julle ja, ja wees. Laat julle nee, nee wees. But meer as dit is in die boos. God, when God say yes, you know, his life is backing it up. When he say yes to you, you know what? Who he is backing you up. So we need to trust him. You know, and to trust him, you know, we need to trust him with the outcome of our obedience. How this thing is going to roll out, to put your trust in him, even when we don't know where this thing will end up. You know, God said to Paul, go into the city. You know, he is on a mission to persecute the Christians. And now God said, go into the city, you know, someone will come and speak to you. And we need to trust him with our lives. You know, we need to trust him with what he is doing. You know, trust is at the very core of kingdom living. God, I trust you with my life. You know, so many times I told him, God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I trust you where you are taking me, God. Hey, guys, we are not in control of our own lives. If he's your friend, you can control it, you know, by yourself. But if you make Jesus Lord, you gave away all your rights. You gave away what you want to do with your life. You say, Jesus, I'm following you. You remember when he called them? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you. Guys, the making is in the following. Are you still with me? The making is in the following. So Paul had to trust him, and he had to obey his instructions. And you know, God spoke to a man with the name of Ananias in Damascus, in that city. And he said, I want you to go and pray for Paul, because Paul couldn't see at that moment. And you know what? It was like God had to convince Ananias, you know, because Ananias said, God, I know that man. He's persecuting the church. He's throwing people in jail. God, are you putting me up for a jail sentence? And God said, no, I've changed his life. Trusting him. Guys, moving with him. You know, sometimes our mind runs away with us. Hey, who can testify about that? Huh? You know, yeah, man, you know, my mind, you know, I think, what's going to happen? But you know, when God speaks, we need to trust him. Why? Because God is love, and his will is the best for me. Hello. God is love. His will is always the best for me. There's nothing better for you and me than his will. His love and his will is the best. So God wanted to use Paul greatly. Sissy, help gegooi so man, so believe. So in verse 15, Ananias came to Paul. Thank you, my Macy. Ananias, you know, came to Paul. He said, but the Lord said, Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. So God said, what? I want to take this persecutor of the church. I want to take him, and I want him to testify before Gentiles, before kings, before the Jews. You know, and only God can do this. Hello? Only God can do this. Only God can turn someone's life around like he did in Paul's life. And you know what? God stills do it today. Hello? Are you still with me? He stills do it. You know, the secret to be used by God. Anyone here wants to be used by God? Let me just see. Am I talking to the right people? Okay. Thank you. You know, the secret to be used by God and to be greatly used by God is to trust and obey. Are you still with me? Trust him, obey him. Knowing that because his love, his will for me is the best that can happen to me. Nike said, do it. You know, that scripture in Romans that says, we are more than conquerors, more than conquerors. You know, the Greek word for that is hypernikao, hyper Nikes. You know, wear your hyper Nikes, more than conquerors. Why do you become more than a conqueror? Just do what he tells you to do. Are you still with me? Amen, amen. Okay, do it as soon as possible. Toe die Here met Abraham gepraat het en die Here sê gaan offer jou seun, het die skrif gesê daai oggend vroeg het Abraham klaar gemaak. Before his wife could be awake and know what they were doing, you know, they were gone. Abraham obeyed God. He trusted God. He obeyed God, you know. When they came to the mountain, he told his servants, you know, you wait here with the donkeys. Me and the son are going to worship. First time in the Bible, the word worship is mentioned. Obedience is your highest form of worship. Hello? Obedience is our highest form of worship. Jesus was prompt to obey his father. Okay, trust and obey. And then Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Guys, you know this part of Scripture. You know, this is such a special part of Scripture. Proverbs 3, 1 to 10, 1 to 12. But 5 and 6, and I quote from the New Living Translation. He says, trust the Lord with all. Say with me, all. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all. Say with me, all. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. He said, trust me with all your heart. You know, sometimes we think our hearts is good. Well, the same scripture says, you know, your heart is deceptible above all. Deceived, you know. Don't trust your heart, man. Trust His word. Hello? Hello? Don't trust your heart. Trust His word. Trust Him. He says, okay, He will show you. You know, so many times when we've prayed, say, God, show me your way. God, I want to run with you, God. I want to do what is your will. The moment you prayed, keep your eyes wide open. You know, because so many times God will just send you an answer like in no time, you know. Someone will phone you. Someone will speak to you. You will come and someone will, you know, start a conversation with you. When you prayed, keep your eyes open. Because God answers prayer. Okay, there's 4 or 5 people that believe it. Say, God answers prayer. Seek, and you will knock, and it will be. And what's the third one? Pray, and He will answer you. Okay. Keep your eyes wide open. Follow the step He is showing you. You know, and God, you know, as I walked with Him through this many years, and I know you've got a relationship with Him, and you know how He works, but you know, God doesn't stop to amaze us. You know, He took the people of Israel out of Egypt, you know, and He took them to a dead end, or it seemed like a dead end. You know, it was the Red Sea. You know, and the next moment, you know, the soldiers of Egypt was coming for them, and to the other end there was this Red Sea, and God said, take your staff, Moses, and open the Red Sea. You know, God worked in amazing ways. Follow the step He is showing you. God is more interested to see you trusting Him one step at a time than giving you a thorough rollout of how it is going to happen. Are you with me? Trusting Him one step at a time. He doesn't give you the whole email, you know. He doesn't give you the manual telling you how it's going to happen. No, no, no. He wants your heart close to Him. That's why He says, trust me one step at a time. And for trust to grow in our hearts, hey, control have to take the back seat. Are you still with me? Control. Who's the guys who's got troubles with control? Up. Who want to put up their hands with me? We want to control the thing. We want to see the outcome. We want to know what's going to happen. And then we will say, okay, maybe I must get interested. No, 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 no. We need to trust Him. Trust. We're back with trust. Trust is faith. That's another word for faith. It's the same thing as faith. Faith is trusting Him, trusting what He said, and leave the results in His hands. You still with me? God, if we got to do this, I'm going to trust You. I remember one day, a guy was speaking to me in my office, and God said, I want you to give this guy, you know, money. You know, in today's terms, maybe, you know, I know the rate of inflation, say it's about 10,000 rand. God said, give that man 10,000 rand. I said, God, you don't know what my wife's going to say about this. So I was thinking, you know, how, you know, we usually, you know, when we do stuff, we do it in unity. So, hey, how am I going to get past my wife on this one? And I said, you know, one day, you know, I prayed about this, you know, and I said, okay. And I said, if God told you to give 10,000 rand to somebody, and I, what would you do? She said, who's the guy? Who's the guy? She said, if God told you to do it, we must do it. You know? Man, what a wife. What a righteous wife. You know, it's that thing, you know, that we must help one another to do the will of God. You know? But praise God, you know, she would discern it. You know, if it wasn't from God, she would say, no, this is not God. Okay. So guys, we need to trust Him and leave the outcome. Leave the result in His hand. Because God can look better, you know, after us than we can care for ourselves. Are you still with me? Okay. So our problem is we want to control the rollout. We want it our way. We want to be in charge. And we want to show that you know, we know what to do. No. We are still disciples, you know. And the more there's humility in our hearts, you know, the more we, you know, we still are learning from Him. You know, God can use us. Then when the moment we think we've got everything together, guess what? You know, Afrikaans sê die skrif in die Korintiërs, hy wat meen dat hy staan moet pas op dat hy nie val nie. You know, the moment we think we have everything together, we don't. You know, that's a dangerous place to be. So let's keep God in charge. You know, keep Him in charge. You know, Moses. Moses and Joshua, you know, when God met with them, when God met with Moses, you know, he hit this tree with fire, and you know, and this tree was burning and burning and burning and burning and burning, and then Moses said, maybe I must have a look there. You know, why is this tree not burning out? You know, and God met with him. And God told him, you know, took out your shoes, you know, take off your shoes, because the place that you stand on is holy. And Joshua had the same experience with God. You know, and I believe, you know, God wants to be in charge. I believe He told them to take off their shoes so that they could walk His way. You know? He wanted them to worship barefoot. And God is looking for a company of children of Him. He's looking for a company of believers. He's looking for a company of kingdom people that will worship Him barefoot. God, not my way, but your way. We're going to do it your way. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, Paul had an impressive CV. You know, in Philippians 3, he gave us a rundown of his CV. Just push that knob, Philippians chapter. Hey, there it is. He says, you know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion. That's why he was persecuting the church. Even to the point of persecuting the church. A meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. That was his, you know, that was his CV. He was, you know, he was ernstig. What's that? Serious. He was serious of following this God. He was serving. You know, and God knew, if I can get this man on my side, he can be usable for me, you know. And that's exactly what Paul did. If you want God to use you, lay down everything that gives your flesh security. You know, our flesh wants some security. You know, our flesh, you know, we want still to be in control of something. Give Him that security. Paul says, I've all put this behind me to found Jesus as my only security. Get rid of your way of doing, you know. Get rid of your shoes. Worship barefoot. So God found His man. He found Paul, you know, for the rest of the book of Acts, you know, this is the story about Paul. And then you go on in the New Testament, it's the letters of Paul. You know, Paul went out, he laid down his life to start the churches. You know, first he would preach in the synagogue, and then everyone that accepted Jesus, you know, he would took them, you know, he would disciple them. Sometimes he discipled them for 2 years. One place they were in the school of Tyrannus doing Bible school. I saw the guys doing Bible school. I saw the photo up there. Who's the Bible school teachers here? You know, fantastic. Fantastic, you know, disciple them, and you know, and so we can go today. We can go back to that letters, see, hey, how do you disciple a church? You know, if you read the book of Philippians, you know, he say it's you know, he's writing this letter from prison, but he tells the guys on the outside to rejoice in the Lord. That's a word for someone this morning. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in Him. And then in chapter 27 of the book of Acts, we see that Paul's life is at the brink of death. He's a prisoner on a boat that is about to shipwreck. Ever been on a boat that was about to shipwreck? Ever feel that your life was going to shipwreck? Okay. Verse 20 says, the terrible storm rage for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. Paul is a prisoner on a boat that is in a terrible storm that is raging for 14 days. 2 weeks, 14 days. For 14 days, the sun and the stars have been blotted out. If there's no sun, if there's no stars, there's no navigation. They don't know where they're going. You know, they are at mercy's sake. For 14 days, this storm is hammering the boat. And for 14 days, this storm is breaking down the morale of the crew. These guys, you know, they have it. They have it. And you know, the crew were so afraid that they stopped eating for 14 days. So you know, they are at mercy's sake. They are without hope. Scripture says, all hope was gone. All hope. New King James, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Have you ever been at that place? That all hope was gone. I remember a day like that in my life. Man, I had no hope. I had no hope. I couldn't think how this thing can turn out in another way. All hope was gone. And I want to encourage you this morning that in any storm, God has the last say. You know, He determines the seasons of our life. Because there was a prophetic word over Paul's life. You know, Ananias said, you will stand before Caesar. You will stand before kings. You will give an account of the gospel. You will testify about the good news of Jesus. And that word still had to come into fulfillment. You know, God still had purpose and destiny for Paul's life, as He have purpose and destiny for your life. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't despair. Don't despair. Verse 22, Paul is speaking to the crowd. He say, I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. So I don't know who's in a storm at this very moment, but God is saying, take heart. God is saying, be courageous. Kom ek sê dit in Afrikaans vir jou. Gedra jou dapper. Be courageous. God's saying, you will make it. Maybe not the ship, but you will make it. and you are not the ship. Hello? You will make it, but not the ship. Let go of the ship. And I don't know what the ship is in your life. And I don't know what's the thing that you need to let go of. You know, what you're clinging to. Okay? And God says, let it go. I will take you through. Maybe the ship in your life is the way that you have been doing things. You know? Especially for men, you know, the things that we do become our identity. Are you still with me? Okay. Manna, you love your honor, it's okay. You know, the things we do become our identity. You know, what people think of us and how people see us. Maybe our ship, you know, our reputation, our work, our belongings. God says, Paul, you will be saved. You know, the crew will be saved, but the ship won't make it. Guys, we're taking nothing with us to heaven. No material things. The only thing that we can take is the people that we have influenced for the gospel. You know, storms have this uncanny ability to rid us from excess baggage. And sometimes we need storms in our lives. Okay, no. Let me put it in context. Jesus said there will be storms. That's why he said, build your house on the rock. Because a house that is built on a rock is storm resistant. Are you still with me? Okay. How to build a life that is storm resistant? Build your house. Build your life on his word. Amen. Hearing it and doing it. You know what? The pruning knife of a storm takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. Storms are part of life. And verse 23, Paul speaking to them, he said, for they stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. You know what? He said, there was an angel of God standing next to me. And you can see the answer the angel is giving to him that Paul has been praying. He said, God has granted you all these sailors, all this crew, God has granted to you. You know what? Angels seem to show up when people take prayer seriously. In chapter 12 of the book of Acts, you know, Peter was in prison and the church prayed. You know what? Who got Peter out of prison? An angel. Chapter 11, Cornelius was praying. He said, God, connect me with someone so that we can hear the full gospel. Guess who appeared to Cornelius? An angel. Daniel, you know, he prayed 3 times a day, opened up his windows, praying to Jerusalem. And then, you know, people said, you know, this Daniel, we must do something to stop him praying. You know, whole story, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Guess who protected him? Angels. You know, when we pray, God sent angels on assignments. Paul was praying very seriously. If you are 14 days in a storm, this storm, there's no light, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no nothing, just a storm hammering the boat. A storm hammering, you know, the morale of the crew, then you pray seriously. And he was praying about him standing before Caesar, giving an account of his faith and the lives of those on the ship. And the angel said, God has granted them all angelic encouragement. Maybe we need a little bit angelic encouragement, you know. when Jacob in Genesis 28, when he saw this vision of the church, you know, this ladder, you know, connecting earth with heaven, God sitting, you know, on top of this ladder, and there was angels moving up and down on this ladder. So God wants to strengthen us, you know. I'm not glorifying angels. Well, they are glorified being angelic beings, but you know, it's part of church, is that they will be angels. You know, angels delivering God's answer to Paul's prayer. I want to encourage you, your most intimate worship will be in your darkest moments. You know, sometimes we try to run away from dark moments. But your most intimate times of worship will be in those dark moments. Verse 25, Paul is speaking to this crew. He says, take courage. He said, I believe God. I trust God. It will be as he said. You know, wow, man, take courage. I want to encourage you this morning. Take courage. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in what he told you. Because God will do it. Maybe it will work out differently than what you expected it to happen. But it will work out. Verse 33. He said, just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, you have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish. And then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. And everyone was encouraged. You know, all the 276 of them that were on board of the ship. It was like, you know, it was like Paul doing communion with these guys. You know, there was no wine, but he took a piece of bread. He thanked. He said, God, thank you. You know. Faith is to say thank you in advance. Hello. Faith is to say thank you in advance. Thank you that you are going to do it, God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but thank you, God, that you're going to do it. You're going to save my son. You're going to save this marriage, God. I thank you, God. You're going to give me that breakthrough. I want to encourage you, take a stand in faith. Put your faith in the one who laid down his life for you. You know what? They lost the ship. The ship, you know, it became briot. But everyone survived the ordeal. And Paul's life was, you know, was still on destiny. Was where God wanted to take him. And I want to finish off with this verse. Of this portion of scripture, you know, it happened that Publius' father was ill with fever and dysentery. Okay, so that's the guys that hosted them on the island where, you know, where the shipwreck was. And Paul went in and prayed for him. And laying his hands on him, he healed him. And then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Can I say this? Storms make you stronger. Storms will encourage you that come hell or high water, God has a purpose for your life. Don't let storms derail you. Keep on track. Know that storms is part of life. I want to encourage you, keep loving people. Keep ministering to people. Live kingdom. You know, this church is at the go button, you know. And, you know, sometimes we think, you know, you don't know what's happening in my life. What can I give you? You know, Paul came out of this ordeal, you know, this storm. But he prayed for this guy's dad. And God healed him. And then, you know, he had the whole island on him, you know. So God is still with us. God is with us in the storms. You know, touching God is our passion. And changing lives is our priority. God, you are our passion. We live for you, God. And you know what? As Paul, you know, he changed lives. So that our priority will be to change the lives that he put on our path. Let's stand.